Our gospel reading this morning comes from Matthew's gospel in chapter 25, and I'm going to start reading at verse 31. So we'll conclude 34 through 36, or 46. And this passage of scripture may be familiar. It's kind of often shared as the last judgment or the final judgment. It's some imagery here that's not always that we think about or work with, you know, in our daily lives. But I invite you to hear these words starting at verse 31. Of chapter 25 out of Matthew. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, that you are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I think about this passage of scripture, I will admit the first thing that comes to my mind is the unfortunate placement of goats in this story. Now, goats, we appreciate. They are good livestock animals. You know, they're fun to watch, and there's a lot of good going with it here. And so when we read this passage of scripture, sometimes we get kind of caught off perhaps in the odd things here, the imagery perhaps, and we get a little lost. And then we start perhaps feeling sorry for the goats who are separated off here. But if we look at this passage of scripture here, we see that it's really not so much about livestock or sorting, you know, one animal into another, you know, spot or anything like that. But rather, this is a call, a statement, a teaching from Jesus. Now, it kind of follows a similar form that we hear from Jesus. We hear a lot of, you know, parables from Jesus, you know, stories that are meant to teach us, to help us to think about our faith. And this story starts out in a way following that model, you know, being a parable, a lesson, or a teaching for us, or something for us to think about. But as we go through this story, we see how it makes a turn. How it actually gets quite serious real quick. But I believe the wording here and the statements that are given are critical for us as a people of faith to take seriously, for us to ponder, to reflect upon, to pray upon, so that we can follow our God and follow Christ. This passage of scripture, though, it is one that does pull me out of myself. And what I mean by that, when I look at the call here, I see how in this day and age that we live in, how some of these words can seem really contrary. And what I mean by that is all the messaging that we receive and how so much of our technology is being, you know, suited for our own preferences, of how we want to spend our days, how we want to choose, you know, what kind of media we consume, what kind of news we get, all these different things that kind of point towards our own preferences. Recently, I acquired one of those Google Home Mini devices. It was a freebie. It came our way. I think I have let a microphone in my home that Google is listening to us all the time. That's a whole different topic for discussion right there. But this device, so it learns what you do, and it learns some of your preferences. In fact, it's reached a point on some things when I ask it to do, it will just go ahead and do it automatically. I don't have to think. It just takes place. And even as a user of Google Mail, of Gmail, I don't know if you've noticed, if you use it a lot, it will start auto-filling in for you right there. Takes some of that effort, some of that work out of emailing, out of your day, and just fills it in. Now, some of these things, some of these tools that make our life easier, I mean, that's a good thing. There's some of this here that is a real help. I'm all about trying to find ways to save time so I can focus on what matters, you know, what is truly, you know, important, you know, in life and in my work. But there is kind of a dark side to this. There's a dark side where whole industries and advertisements and so many technologies being geared for us where we live with our own preferences. And even how we like to spend our time can get, you know, dangerous for us. I mean, I love the summer season. I love this time of year where there's and the schedule is different. There's things we can do, but there's kind of an ideal summer, kind of an ideal, you know, vision of summer, of it being almost Epicurean, almost indulgent in some ways. But when we think about all the messaging, all the ideas that come our way, when we come back to a passage of scripture like this, Matthew 25, that we have here, it jars us. It pulls us away from living as we might want to live, and instead calls us back to our God, calls us back to what truly matters. Matthew 25 is a passage of scripture here, this part of Matthew 25, that is often, you know, talked about when we're working with those who are struggling, specifically around, you know, food and clothing and prison ministries. Important things that matter. In the time of Jesus, when he was talking about these things, those three things were some of the biggest daily concerns that people would interact with and live with. No, dealing with food insecurity, where most of everyone was some form of subsistence farmer or fisherman or along those lines, where your income really wasn't derived even from your food. Why you raised food and fish, that was so you could live. If you had extra that you could sell, no, that was a bonus. So food insecurity was a real everyday struggle with the vast majority of people. And if you are living where food insecurity is something you struggle with on a daily basis, where your extra income comes out of surplus, if you don't have a whole lot of surplus, it can be difficult then to get the materials, you know, or the tools even to make clothing. So you could have some covering. And if you think about where this part of the world was, it would have been quite warm, a lot of sun. And so clothing, you know, for some occupations was vital. So you could be, you know, protected from the elements. Clothing wasn't so much a fashion statement. That was reserved for those who had great amount of wealth, vast sums of funds to draw from. But for everyday folk, I mean, clothing was needed for just protection from the elements. Or even in winter, just to keep you warm. And so clothing had different function. How you acquired that clothing was differently. And the reality of being sick and of being in prison, of sickness, again, in the ancient world, that was something that was, you know, you probably died from. If you were sick, if you got what we would call an infection today, that was pretty much your end because of how difficult, one, it was living, the living conditions, but also the difficulty in medicine. Medicine really just did not exist as we imagine it. And the reality of being put in prison for whatever the offense or perceived offense would be, the notions of justice that we have today, I mean, just did not exist at all. If you turned, you know, wrongly towards a Roman governor, you know, you could meet your end, I mean, let alone going in to prison. Or perhaps if you were in debt, or if you were so far, you know, behind on helping somebody out or doing being in service to, you know, a king or to the Roman Empire, I know you could be tossed into prison. So these things were realities. Instead of us today, where we do have struggles with food, and we know people who struggle with food insecurity and with clothing, and we are called to help those with those needs. When we compare ourselves today to those who lived in the time of Jesus, we can see the vast gulf of our difference in concerns. Whereas people in the time of Christ were looking for a way to survive through the day, we often find ourselves today sorting through preferences. Surviving through the day is not our primary concern for the most part, but rather we have so much we can sort through. So much we choose, so many options before us. Now, I'm not decrying the options in our lifestyle today. That's not it at all, but rather to help you think about the difference and the struggles, and also the hardship, too, of when we do live and work with those who are dealing with food insecurity, those who are dealing with clothing insecurity, and those who are in prison. The difficulties that come from those things. If you're in a place where you are struggling to get food, to get through the day, you know, even in 2019, a lot of the concerns that you may have in the day are going to be very different from someone who has enough to eat, from someone who has clothing, from someone who is not worried about injustice. So for those of us who see the needs in the world, who see these struggles, this passage of Scripture reminds us and, more importantly, calls us to the core of so much of Christ's message. It calls us to share, to help, to reach out, to speak up for those who are struggling. And we do it not because it is something that makes us comfortable or looks good, but rather it's because our Lord and our Savior calls us to do this. Christ calls us to serve and to help those who are struggling with food insecurity, with clothing insecurity, and even to reach out to those who are in prison and then struggling there. It's not because it looks good, but because, again, our Savior calls us to serve. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read a passage of Scripture and Jesus is telling me to do something so I don't end up in a fiery pit, I start taking notice. I start paying attention. And I believe this language is bold. It is bold to get us out of our complacency, to get us out of being comfortable and our preferences, and calls us back to who we are and to whose we are as well. Because as followers of Christ, we have acknowledged that we cannot save ourselves, that we are not our own gods. Instead, we acknowledge our God, the one who saves us. We acknowledge Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we are called back to serve, to help, to speak up for those who are struggling. Brothers and sisters, let this passage of Scripture bring us back to who we are. Let us bring it back into reality, away from our own preferences, away from our comfort, so we can be the people that God calls us to be, so that we can be the people that are needed in this world, so we can be the people for those who are struggling, so they can have that meal to eat, so they can have clothing on their back, and for those who are facing injustice and those who are struggling, that they know that people care. But more importantly, they know that God cares. They know that Christ cares. And that by our service and our care, we can point the way to our God, to our Savior. And so others will know that hope and that life and the way to our God. They can experience that life and the everlasting life that is so graciously and freely shared with us now and forevermore. Amen.